Our Lord, how glorious it is that you have spoken. How wonderful it is to know that you are a God who loves us and who has given us good things. We pray, Father, that as we consider these words that David has written, that you would remind us of the great blessings that we have. Lord, as we look forward to a new year, we pray that we would look forward with hope and with joy, knowing that you are a God who is for us and not against us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what will the new year bring? It's a scary question for some of us. Now, you might be naturally optimistic, ready to meet any challenge head on. Nothing's too difficult. You've got years of experience behind you telling you that you can do it. But for others of us, the next year is a year of uncertainty. You've been hit and hit again by bad news. You're hurting and you're scared of what's next in the coming year. It might be that things have been even harder for you than other people realise. They've seen most of the pain, but you've managed to keep some of it private, just for you. Are you dreading the new year? Are you looking up to God and wondering how much more he's going to give you, and then wondering how much it'll take before you crack? Are you starting to lose hope that things will change, that God will ever show you mercy, that joy will ever be found? Well, Psalm 9 are words of life for you this morning. Because inevitably, when we're feeling worried and anxious about the future, it's because we're not looking in the right direction. Our heads are down. Our heads are down, looking at our feet as they step. And we're not sure if we'll be stepping onto solid ground or stepping into a ditch. But if instead of fixing our eyes on our feet, how much better would it be to fix our eyes on the one who gave us our eyes and our feet? Our focus should be on God. In this psalm, David tells us to praise the God who is the sure hope of his people. Even as the pain of life threatens to overcome us, or the fear of those pains in the new year, we have a God we can praise who is the sure hope of his people. David's first call to us comes in verses 1 to 12. And he says, praise God for his marvellous works. And in this first call of David, he himself provides us with an example. Verses 1 and 2, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. David is completely sold out to praising God. With my whole heart, he says. He's always ready to praise God. When God's people sing, he's belting it out with them. When they talk about God, he has a story to share. Why? Well, because verse 1, of his marvellous works. That word marvellous is that same Hebrew word that we use to translate in Isaiah 9, that we use to translate wonderful. Remember, his name will be called Wonderful, meaning that he's the one who does miraculous works which only God can do. And David's praising God for these works of power. Which marvellous works, which miraculous signs is he talking about? Well, verses 3 to 6 talk about David's enemies being defeated. that God judged, rebuked, destroyed them, blotted out their name forever and ever. And while the names of David's enemies are being blotted out forever and ever, have a look at verse 7. The Lord shall endure forever. He brings justice, verse 8, against these enemies who work against God's people. Verses 9 and 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. David starts off praising God for his marvellous works. And he calls us to do the same in verses 11 and 12. And as we come to the end of another year, wouldn't you rather focus on the wonderful works that God has done for you in the past? Instead of living in dread at what might be coming, wouldn't you rather spend your time rejoicing in God's blessings than wallow in the pain of past hurts? I sometimes get mild eczema on my calves. Sometimes I'll be lying in bed with my calves burning with that desire to scratch. And very often I'll give in, and that burning feeling doesn't go away, instead it grows. And foolishly, I hope that by scratching that itch that it will all go away. But it's not until I stop giving in to the itch and instead I put on cream that the itch starts to go away. When we give in to that desire to wallow in the negative, in the heartbreak and the disappointments, that just breeds more wallowing. One bad memory and thinking about that spirals into thinking about the next bad memory, and on it goes. But when, instead of scratching that itch of wallowing in bad memories, we put on that cream of thankfulness, that balm of praising God for his marvellous works, we find rest and comfort. Not to mention that God receives what he deserves, the praise of his people. And as God's people, we have two sources of God's faithfulness that we can praise him for. We have the Bible telling us of those big things that God has done throughout history for his people. Supremely, obviously, we have the cross, where God showed himself to be faithful to his promises, to save his people and forgive them. He sent his son to die for us so that we could become his children, his adopted sons and daughters. Now, this is always the ultimate reason for thankfulness and praise. But there's so much more. Anything good that has happened to you this year, that is his gift. A new job, a new house, a good conversation. Spend time thinking about this past year and praise God for all those good things that you think of. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Psalm 9 calls us to praise the God who is the sure hope of his people. In verses 1 to 12, he tells us to praise God for past marvellous works. And now in verses 13 to 18, he tells us, cry out to God in present struggle and trouble. Dale Ralph Davis, an American preacher and writer, when talking about these verses, makes the point that wonderful deliverances can be followed by fresh needs. A believer's life does not consist of a jam or two, but normally of troubles all along the way. We should never be surprised that after a marvellous deliverance, we are somehow in the middle of more slop. And maybe you feel that way, that life just doesn't get easier, that you're moving from one crisis being resolved straight into another crisis. And that's just like David. Look at verses 13 and 14. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. He moves from praise for past salvation to pleading for more help now. He pleads for mercy after having already received mercy. And here's the added bonus of thinking about all those good things in the past that God has done for you, that he's already given you. God, the idea that God has saved us already, that we already have this ultimate salvation of Christ's sacrifice. And we even have those small deliverances of being given healing after a cold. As we think about all these times that God has been merciful to us, given us good gifts in the past, our confidence in his continuing mercy grows. My kids have learned to link my mum, their nana, with Smarties. Why? Because pretty much every time she comes to see them, she has a packet of Smarties in her bag ready to give them. Their past with her has taught them what to expect from her in the future. And it should be the same with us and God. No matter what we're going through, we can know that God is our sure hope and that he is worthy of praise. We can know because of his past marvellous deeds that we can cry out to God in our present trouble. What trouble will we face this year? Slander from the world because we believe that there's only one way to God and that that way is Jesus Christ through his cross? Being accused of being hateful because we believe that God has only made two genders and that you can't switch? Will some of us be fired for holding these views or publicly shamed? Will we go through an even harder time with our health, with our relationships? We can cry out to God in our present trouble and know that he hears us, know that he cares for us, know that he will look after us because he has already been faithful in the past. He has shown himself for who he is. And we have the joy of knowing that even if things continue to be hard here, even if we don't see the mini deliverance that we're looking for, of health restored and relationships healed and a job offer and money for food, even if none of that comes, he is still faithful. He will still care for us. Even if the smaller things of this life he withholds from us, we can trust that he holds us safe in his hands. We can trust that because he's given, we can trust that because he has given us the greatest deliverance that there is. He gave Jesus. Jesus, who came as a humble baby and lived the perfectly obedient life that we wouldn't and couldn't. And this Jesus died for us sinful people so that we could be made his children. This is his love. And we can trust that if he sent Jesus to die for us, to bring us forgiveness, that he will keep us safe in his hand. If we are his, he will not let the sufferings of this life tear us away from him. We are safe in His arms, and He will never let us go. Because God has done marvelous works for us in the past, we can cry out to God in our present trouble, knowing that He is the sure hope for His people. He saved us in the past, ultimately through Jesus, but also in everyday life and situations, He has shown great kindness to us. And so we can trust Him in our present troubles. And as we move to verses 19 and 20, David seems to more clearly come to the end. We've seen God's faithfulness in the past, which gives us hope for now, but it also gives us confidence for the future. Confidence to obey God when He tells us, "Pray, your kingdom come." Verse 19, "Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Living in 21st century Australia, it's easy to become disconnected with what life is like for the majority of the world's population, and especially the majority of Christians around the world. We don't see it very often, but in arrogance, people think that they can be cruel and get away with it. They think that they can do the most horrific things to others and think that God won't do anything about it. And so David calls on God to judge them. "Bring justice," he says. And he's not asking for temporary justice. He's not asking God to be like our legal system, bringing justice to a murderer while knowing that other murders will happen in the future. David is asking for all of it to end, for the nations to be judged. "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." We might be embarrassed to pray something like this. We might think that it sounds a bit mean-spirited, praying that God would come in judgment. But this is actually what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. "Let your kingdom come." What do we think that means, but, among other things, "Come and judge your enemies and make everything right"? This is our prayer. David tells us to praise the God who is the sure hope of His people. We know He's our hope because of His past marvellous works, which gives us hope for today. And we can cry out to Him in our present troubles, and we can pray with confidence, "Your kingdom come," for God to bring justice on the final day. We don't know what the coming year will bring, but we do know this. We serve a faithful God. He has shown Himself faithful by sending Christ to die for our sins. He'll show Himself faithful when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. See, this is our antidote to the temptation to wallow. Rehearse how God has shown Himself faithful, both in the story of redemption, which we read in the Bible, and in your life. Remember the past. Anticipate the future. And know that the same God is faithful in your trials now, in your worries, even now. He truly is a God we can praise. He is the sure hope of His people. Let's pray. Our God, it is with great joy that we can know that You are our God and that we are Your people, that You care for us and You do all things for us. We pray, our God, that our hope would indeed be on you, that we would be trusting you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, that we would be loving you, that we would be remembering all those times that you have been so good to us. Lord, that we would be noticing all these times as we go on now, that we would be recognizing that everything good that comes to us comes from your hand. And it is a reason for rejoicing, a reason for hope. Our God, fill us with this hope in the coming year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.